All right, today's scripture is taken from Mark 2, 1 to 12, and it reads, "When he returned to Capernaum after days, it was reported that he was at home. So many gathered around there that there was no longer room for them, not even in the front of the door, and he was speaking the word to them. Then some people came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And after having dug through it, they let him down. They let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.' Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, 'Why does this fellow speak in this way? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?' At once Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves, and he said to them, 'Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Stand up and take your mat and walk"? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, 'I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go to your home.' And he stood up and immediately took the mat and went out before all of them, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, 'We have never seen anything like this.' Thanks be to God."
Thank you, Chris, for reading the scripture passage. We had such a wonderful time of sharing joys, concerns, and a fun children's time. I want to get a goldfish packet after the sermon as well. We are running a little bit late, so I think this morning's sermon will kind of focus on Mark 2, verses 1 to 5, and I'll continue the rest of my sermon 2 Sundays from now. Let us pray first. Lord, I ask that you guide my words, that they reflect your will, that you know and you hear the meditations and reflections we hold in our hearts ourselves, that you know, Lord, this is expressions of our true faith, that we hope our thoughts and will be acceptable in your sight. For, Lord, you are our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. Amen. So I'm continuing with the sermon series on holding space. We talked about holding space, how important it is to hold space for ourselves, to not judge ourselves, to not expect certain outcomes of our lives, to walk on a faith journey so that we can know ourselves better and draw closer to God. And once you are able to do that for yourself, then I believe we are all able to hold space for another person. This is so important that we do this. We all know someone, a friend, a coworker, a classmate, a neighbor, an acquaintance, someone we know who is lost, who does not yet have Christ in their heart, someone who does not know what it means to truly feel loved by God. It is so important that we think of this person and hold space for them as well. As a reminder, what it means to hold space is printed in your worship bulletin. When you hold space for someone, it means that you are willing to walk alongside them on whatever journey they are on, that you are willing to do so without judging them, without trying to make them feel inadequate or trying to fix them as well. When we hold space for another person, we offer unconditional love, and we also learn about ourselves, and we support each other in our faith journeys. It is so important that we hold space for another person because we are reminded in Matthew chapter 28, verse 30 to 31, the greatest commandments, first to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and strength, and the second is to love our neighbors as ourselves. When you hold space for yourself and you're loving God with all your heart and your mind and soul, then you are ready to hold space for another person, to love the neighbor as yourself. That is why I want to talk today about holding space and looking at that first step of holding space for another person, to be able to willing to walk alongside that person in whatever faith journey they are on. Then the following Sundays, we'll look at not judging people. We'll look at trying to offer unconditional love to persons. And next Sunday, we will also have Al Wong share his own faith story with us. We will continue to look at these ways that we hold space for each other. But first, I wanted to do a kind of fun exercise, and Andy, Louie, and I did this before service, so we'll share our answers. But thinking about the people all around you, there is a sociologist, Henry Murray and Clyke Cluckhone. And these sociologists, Murray and Cluckhone, they come up with this theory, and I think I've shared this before. But they say that we are like all others. Every single human being on this earth is like all others, that we all walk, that we all are in our way walk. We all breathe, we all have skin, we all have blood coursing through our bodies. We are all children of God. We are like all others. But they also say that we are like some others. Some of us are female, some of us are male, some of us have brown eyes, some of us have blue eyes, some of us have hair, some of us have no hair. And they also say, though, that we are like no others. Each person is unique in their own way. You have experienced something that no one else has experienced. You might have a physical trait or quality that no one else has as well. So we are like all others, we are like some others, and we are like no others. So now I invite you to turn to someone next to you and talk about ways that you are like some each other and ways that you are unique to each other. Maybe just turn to someone near you and say something that you have in common and then something that is so unique about you. Share that now. So we did that. Sorry to cut you short, but you are encouraged to continue to talk, maybe even after service, to find some more things you have in common and something unique about yourself as well. But Andy, Louie, and I are going to share our answers because we did this exercise earlier together. For the reminder that we are like all others, we say that we are all children of God. And Andy said, which I really like, we also all matter to each other and to God. That is how we are all alike. It's even deeper than just having everyone has skin or everyone, you know, has eyes or everyone, you know, was born from a womb. We are like some others. Andy, do you want to share what we came up with, that he and I are alike some others?
We share that we are firstborns. We're both firstborns. And that we're kind of like task-oriented. even though there's many tasks, we like to complete one before moving to other tasks so that we know that we accomplished it and then we can move on.
Yes, we're very checklist-oriented, and we don't know if it's because we're firstborn or that's a trait that we have. And some of you have that, and some of you are firstborn, and some of you are an only child, and some of you are second, third, or fourthborn or more. So you're like some others in that way. But we also are reminded that we are like no others. We have our own unique experience. So Andy, can you share with us your unique you like no other person?
Well, I don't know if it's exactly like no other person, but who would want to be like me? But I think I have 7 cars, so that's kind of unique. And then, of course, you guys seen that yellow thing of mine, so that's kind of unique, and it's not too common, so I would kind of say that.
Yeah,
might be an answer.
And my thing that makes me like no other, I believe, is when I was 12 years old, I had 6 teeth removed. Has anyone else had 6? Okay. So most of us might have had if you had all wisdom teeth removed, you might have had 4, maybe 5 if you need new dentures or implants. But as a 12-year-old, I had 6 teeth removed. Most of them were my baby teeth that just weren't growing out, and I needed to get them out. So that's my like no other thing. But we are reminded, and maybe we'll ask others later during fellowship time, what you learned from your neighbor in your pew, how you are like some others, and you are like no others. And we are also like all others, reminding ourselves that we are all children of God, and we all matter in God's eyes. The reason I want us to think about this is because we have family and people and acquaintances in our lives, that we are like all others, reminding we are all children of God. your coworker, your classmate, your family member, your friend from middle school, your friend that you just met a month ago. We are all the same, that we are all children of God. But we are also only like some others. Maybe you're all part of one family, the Thai family, or the Lee family, or the Go or See family. You have blood relations that make you like some others. You have the same ethnic background that makes you like some others. And then you also have the career or the classmate that you are like because you have that common career goal or the common workplace or the common thing you're studying at school, or the friend that you have a common history with because you went to the same elementary school, or a friend that you have the same interest with because you like to exercise or do the same things together. But we have to remember that we are also all unique. We are like no others. Every single person has something that makes them unique, that God created in them a uniqueness, a different call to a path of life, a different unique trait about them physically, or a different life experience that they experienced. So when we walk on a faith journey with someone, the first thing we do when we hold space for them, we have to remember them that about the person. I invite you now to maybe just take a few seconds to think about someone who you would like to hold space for. A relative you know that does not yet have a relationship with God, a coworker you know that is struggling with their own faith or wants to know more about Christ, or a longtime friend that you know that you have had as a great friendship, but yet that friend and you have not been able to talk about faith together. Think about someone that you want to hold space for. So I hope in that short 20 seconds I gave you, maybe one person popped into your mind. And if you're like me, I didn't just have one person. I had a relative. I had a friend. I even have a past classmate that I think I would like to hold space for. But we all have people that we know we are like some of them, and that we also are like no other and are unique as well. And when we talk about holding space for that person, we want to be able to walk along with them in their faith journey. And we see in this morning's scripture passage that Jesus encounters the paralyzed man, the man that he makes well. But we look first at the first part of the scripture passage, and we see that Jesus has returned home to Capernaum. If you remember from Mark 1 that we've talked about the past 2 weeks, Jesus has been doing so many things. He called a disciple, he was baptized, he healed a leper, he did all these amazing things, and people are following him so much so that he retreats to his home. And then when he retreats to his home, we find that so many people have heard about him and that they've gathered or outside his home. There's not even room to come inside his home. The door is blocked, the room is full of people, and he's speaking to the people. And then we hear that some people, they bring a paralyzed man to him. The man is paralyzed, unable to move, and four people carry this man to Jesus. In biblical times, they say that if a person is paralyzed or has a disease, that they are sinful, that they are evil. And we realize now in our contemporary world, in our own knowledge of Jesus Christ and the love for all, that that is not the case if someone is paralyzed or ill. But we also know that it's symbolic not of a physical paralyzation, but a spiritual paralyzation. So this man might have had a lack of faith or a weakness of his own will, and the people are bringing him forth before Jesus. We see that the people, they carry this man, four people carry this man. They see that they cannot get into the house. So what do? They go onto the top of Jesus' house. They remove the roof. And now it's a roof made of probably of straw and mud and clay, and it might have taken a while, but they remove the whole roof. And then they lower this man down to Jesus. And Jesus sees what these people are doing. These people are holding space in a way for this paralyzed man. They are bringing him and walking with him on his faith journey. Not physically walking, of course, but they are being a part of this man's faith, bringing him to Jesus. So when we are ready to hold space for another person, and hopefully you thought of someone, again, a friend or a coworker or a neighbor or a classmate, someone you want to hold space for, be prepared to walk on this faith journey with this person, to be like the people that helped the paralyzed man that did so much to bring this person to Jesus. They carried him, they tore a roof off, they lowered him in to see Jesus. They held space for this man. And what happens? We know that Jesus, he sees their faith. He sees the faith of these people who are holding space for this man, that he says to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And he says that because he saw the faith of these people, how they were bringing this paralyzed man to him. In Matthew Henry's commentary of Mark chapter 2, it says about this passage that true faith and strong faith may work in various ways, but it shall be accepted, only accepted, and approved by Jesus Christ. We might have such true faith and such strong faith that we come diligently to church every Sunday, that we participate in Bible study, that we go to fellowship groups, that we pray daily. We have strong and working faith, but we must know that this faith means nothing if it is not accepted and approved by Jesus Christ. And here, Jesus Christ, he sees the faith of these people who are helping the paralyzed man. So the focus first isn't on the lack or the weakness of faith in this paralyzed man, but the focus instead is on the people who are helping this man. And so we must remember, as we walk and hold space with someone, we walk on their faith journey, that if we focus on our faith and are willing to share it with others, then we can see our true and strong faith accepted and approved by Jesus Christ. That is so important that we must know that in our lives. So then when we think about how we can hold space for a person, to know that we are walking with them alongside whatever part of the journey they are on, then we do not judge them. Then we instead offer unconditional love. And then we instead try to help them, but not fix their lives. So we take that first step. We think of someone we want to hold space for, to know that we must be a part of their faith journey, even willing to do what these four persons did for the paralytic man, to do the extraordinary, to do more than is expected, to do the things that are hard. As the people we know, it was probably physically hard for them to carry this man, to take a roof off, and to lower this man down to see Jesus. But their true and strong faith is rewarded and accepted. And Jesus says to the words of the man that your sins are forgiven. That is what we want to do for the person we are holding space for, to bring them to Jesus, to help them see that their sins are forgiven by the love of Jesus Christ, and continue to be in unconditional love with each other. Next week, we will continue to look at holding space, and 2 weeks from now, continuing to look how we are not to judge one another, and continue to look how we must offer unconditional love to each other as well. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you hear the words of the message today, and you tell us and remind us to love one another. As Jesus said of the second greatest commandment, to love our neighbor as ourselves, we must strive to do that. We must strive to think of those we must hold space for, to walk alongside them in their journey, to let them know the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, and continue to make disciples of the world, to fulfill the greatest commandment, to continue to love you, Lord, with all our hearts, minds, and soul. Amen.